He got absolutely pizzayed. And he earned it. And he's the number one receiver. And he hopefully will be one of those pieces that get this team that unfortunately I have the burden of rooting for out of the doldrums. Do I believe it? Of course not. Come on, I'm a Jets fan. You know the deal. It is Chris Thomas Turtle and Chris Thomas tonight with you until 10 o'clock. But why am I talking about the Jets? No, it's not Aaron Rodgers related. Wow, for the first time in how long? It's actually Garrett Wilson related. He lands a four-year, $130 million juicy, juicy, juicy extension with the New York Jets. So he will continue to be their primary target. He will be Justin Fields' number one receiver. They both went to Ohio State, right, though? If I'm not mistaken, Garrett Wilson went to Ohio State. So they'll have that connection there. And hopefully, you know, that means that they're going to do something. Probably not. Yeah, life is a Jets fan. But I don't need, Oren, you know the deal. I don't need to talk to Falcons fans about being a Jets fan. They know the deal.
Yeah, we're wallowing in the same misery.
Yeah, we are kindred spirits, as they like to say. So what does this mean? Why am I talking about this? Well, it's not just because it's a big NFL story. It's because we have a guy here in Atlanta named Drake London that has turned himself into a 1,000-yard Pro Bowl caliber receiver that's going to need a similar contract and a similar timeline. And it's not a question of if, right? It's a question of when. He obviously has earned his second contract. He obviously has earned the right to get a contract in that same neighborhood. But, Oren, the question then becomes, how does it work? So, in Wilson's contract, he got $90 million guaranteed out of the $130 million. So, keep that in mind. And the $32.5 million average, fifth highest in the league for wide receivers. And that, again, that's these are good comps for Drake London. This is pretty much exactly where he fits in. Now, much like the Jets, they're going to have to worry about now what to do with Sauce Gardner. They're also reportedly trying to work out an extension for him. And then for the Falcons, that guy who totes the rock, top five player in the NFL, in my opinion, number seven in your hearts, number one in our minds. That's Bijan Robinson. What's his contract going to look like? There's another guy who, in a couple of years from now, if we think he's going to be the type of player that we think he's going to be, oh, that name is Michael Penix Jr. And what is that thing going to look like? Is that contract going to start with a three? So you have all these guys on offense now that you're going to need to pay. You also have all these guys, Oren, now on defense that you just drafted. If Rook and Dorless and Walker and Pierce all become the types of players you hope they're going to be, well, there is a salary cap in this sport. You are going to have to work around it. And at what expense? Well, I will tell you, I thought it before, but I almost think it's a lock at this point. Kyle Pitts is the obvious guy on the way out. Meaning, in order to make room for an extension for Drake, Bijan, to start saving for Penix and Walker and the guys on defense, they ain't bringing back Kyle Pitts. Because even if he balls out and has a great year, what type of money are you going to pay him? It's going to be too much. You going to give him George Kittle money? $70 million guaranteed? No, you're most certainly not. Because that will be, I will give him credit for 1.5 good years. The first year here where he had a lot of yards, but he only had one touchdown. And then if he has a really good job this year. That's it, folks. I'm not giving him a George Kittle contract based off of that. No, sir, no way. I have too many other. How many players did I just name? Bijan, Drake, Penix, Rook, Dorless, Walker, Pierce. Now you're going to say Turtle. Some of those guys are down the road. Yeah, but if you lock up Pitts, that money's still going to be there in 2 or 3 years when a lot of these guys need to get paid. Wilson just signed, what, a 4-year deal, right? 4-year, $130 million extension. That's $32 million a year. Uh-uh. Not doing it. Can't do it. Can't win with them. Can't do it. So that's, again, the Jets signed wide receiver Garrett Wilson to a 4-year, $130 million extension. If I'm Drake London, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying giddy the bleep up. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Orin, Frank Schwab did get back to me. We can hit him up now, and we will get him on for a couple of minutes here at 404-726-0929. I just think there's no way on planet Earth you'd be able to afford Pitts, even if he makes the Pro Bowl, even if he's an All-Pro. No, I just don't think there's room at the inn. There's too many other guys that I prioritize here on this roster over Kyle Pitts, especially given his lack of production. All right, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Frank Schwab, Inside Coverage Podcast for Yahoo Sports. Make sure you check that out. Frank, let's start with what I was just talking about. Garrett Wilson breaks the bank for the Jets, gets a 4-year, $130 million extension. I was just talking about, I think that if I'm Drake London here in Atlanta, I'm licking my chops, Frank, saying, give me that kind of money.
Yeah. And if anything, you should ask for more. Look, Garrett Wilson is a very good player, but if I'm picking between the two, I take Drake London. I think most people would. So I think Drake is set up to have a really good season. And, yeah, I mean, if Michael Penix peppers him with targets the way he did in those last three games last year, Drake London's going to have another 100-catch season, go well over 1,000 yards, be the focal point of that offense and the passing game. And why wouldn't he ask for much more? I mean, he might get up in maybe not quite the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase territory, but not far off of it either. He is set up really well, and, you know, these receiver contracts just keep going up and up. The value is there in a passing league to have these stud number one receivers, and Drake London has proven he's that for sure.
Speaking of wide receivers, what's going on in 49ers land with all these players wanting all this money?
It's one of those things where you think about the 49ers the past few years, and just about every year they've had somebody complain about a contract, hold out, and get paid. Whether it's Nick Bosa or Trent Williams or Brandon Ayuk, or, you know, there's been a few guys. So why wouldn't the next guy just do the same thing? And by all accounts, Juwan Jennings, who wants a new contract, is going to be a training camp, and he doesn't plan to hold out. But we've heard that before. And, you know, it might be one of those hold-in situations where he doesn't practice. The 49ers have caved in the past. So Juwan Jennings probably deserves a raise. I understand why he wants one. He's set up to have a really nice season. And, you know, he's not a young age anymore. So this is the leverage he has. I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's going to be traded. I think this is just one of those, whatever leverage he has right now, he's going to use. And I think the 49ers, hopefully anyway, will treat him fairly, pay him close to what he's worth, because he's really underpaid for the role that they expect him to do this year.
What is going on in Pittsburgh with TJ Watt? Is there a real chance you think he plays elsewhere?
No, but I've said that before, and sometimes you just get so far down the road with this stuff that it's just irreparable. I don't think that's going to happen. I think TJ is one of those players who the Pittsburgh Steelers want to have him retire as a Steeler, put him in a Ring of Fame, have him go to Canton as a Steeler and a Steeler only. And I do think that that will happen. I think that when it comes down to it, the Steeler, look, TJ Watt has every reason to say, Myles Garrett got paid this, I think $40 million a year. I'm worth at least that. And the Steelers probably are shaking their head saying, yep, you are. Like, let's figure this out. So I think they're going to be able to come to an accord that, you know, it satisfies both parties. Because C.J. Watt is as good as any player in the league, non-quarterback, and he deserves to get paid as such. And I'm pretty sure the Pittsburgh Steelers realize that, too.
What do you make of, as we're talking with our buddy Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, make sure you check out the Inside Coverage podcast of what's going on with Lloyd Howell. Is he going to lose his job?
Oh, man, that is I don't want to speculate on that because I don't know really all the details. I don't think any of us know all the details, but it sure doesn't look good, does it? I mean, it is. That's messy. And we all knew, like, I hate to bring it up with you because your team was the team I kind of bang on the most, but we all knew that something was up when Lamar Jackson didn't get any interest, right? Like, that we knew some collusion was going on. Like, and I think smart people did. I heard a lot of people and read a lot of people really being condescending about that. But when a guy of that caliber gets literally no interest in a, you know, when he's a semi-free agent, something's going on. And, you know, and that's bad enough. But, I mean, if the union helped conceal this from the players, I don't know how you rebound from that. I don't know how the trust is ever repaired after that. So this is going to be a really interesting one to watch. I know, you know, your casual fans don't care who really, you know, runs a union or anything like that, but it does matter. I mean, it matters to the welfare of the, you know, the relationship between the NFL and the players and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to get more interesting as we go on and more details are revealed, I think.
Well, the most ironic part about it, Frank, is that DeMaurice Smith has a book coming out. And you got to wonder how much dirt is he willing to spill, you know, probably figuring, hey, I'll never work with the NFL again after the way my tenure ended there. So it's going to be really interesting in the next couple of months to a year to see what comes out. You have no worry about the long-term future of the game with this kind of stuff, though, do you?
No, not really. I mean, stuff like this pops up, but it's just something that, you know, it's kind of the soap opera within a soap opera, isn't it? There's, you know, I mean, for people deep in the weeds with the union stuff and the labor stuff, there's always something interesting going on. And this is certainly, to me, it's interesting. And I think that, you know, people like scandals too. So it might be interesting to them as well.
There was an article today saying, you know, the proverbial CJ Stroud is in the best shape of his life. Do you buy the Texans as a bounce back team?
I honestly don't. I think the same problems they had last year haven't resolved themselves. The offensive line is terrible. I mean, it might be worse in the NFL. I don't think the receivers are better as a whole than they were last year when we were all so excited about Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell alongside Nico Collins. Well, now they're relying on rookies. I think C.J. Stroud's a fantastic football player. Really, really, really good. But you need some help. And maybe the coordinator change, they change offensive coordinators from Bobby Slowick, you know, last year to this year. And maybe that helps everything to Luke Kuechly taking over play calling. But I just look at the Texans, who were a bad football team in the second half of last season. I hate to be that blunt about it. They were not good. We all forget that because they beat the Chargers in the playoffs. But the Texans, for the last 9 games last year, they were 4-5. It was some miserable performances in there. I don't think they're going to be that great this year. Maybe I'm wrong. I really like D'Amico Ryans. I really like C.J. Stroud. That defense made huge improvements last year, so maybe they just run away with that division again. But I think the Jaguars win that division, to be honest. There are enough problems that cropped up with the Texans last year that I don't think got fixed, and I just don't buy them as a rebound candidate. I think that they're going to take a lateral step or a step back before they take a step forward. They have a lot of work to do on that, especially on that offensive line.
Nobody ever roots for injury, but Buccaneers All-Pro left tackle Tristan Wirfs is going to miss some time. Obviously, big news for us here in Atlanta with the NFC South.
Huge, huge, huge. I mean, Tristan Wirfs is one of the best players in the NFL, regardless of position. He plays a value position. I mean, when stuff like this happens in early July, you really can't replace him. Like, it's not like the Buccaneers were ready to, you know, have a backup plan for their all-pro left tackle. I mean, it's just, you're stuck with this. You're going to be stuck with it for a while. They're going to have to scheme around that. Got a new offensive coordinator, so that doesn't make his job any easier. I still think the Buccaneers are the best team in that division. I hate to tell you. I think the Buccaneers are by far the best team in that division. But this opens the door. I mean, the Falcons get off to a fast start. You know, the Buccaneers might not without Tristan Wirfs. He's that valuable to them. This really evens things out. It's one of the bigger losses that, you know, because he's an offensive lineman, we don't talk about it enough. That is a huge loss for the Buccaneers. And we can't be sure that, you know, just, you know, if he goes on PUP and misses the first 4 games or whatever it is, there's no guarantee that he comes right back to the lineup and looks like Tristan Wirfs. I mean, this sounds like something that's been really bothering him for a while. It might linger, and that really affects our offensive line, which in turn affects our offense, which has to carry the load for them because their defense is only average.
Speaking of the NFC South, are you a believer in what you saw at the end of the year from Bryce Young?
Somewhat. I think that he really got better, but I also think in a way, were overpraising him because the bar was so low. I mean, he got benched 2 games into the second year. I mean, for our number one overall pick, that's terrible. Like, he was legitimately one of the worst quarterbacks in football. And I don't, you know, I mean, I don't have anything against him. He just was. Like, that's why the Panthers benched him for Andy Dalton. So when he comes back and he plays well during the, you know, last half of the year, he did play better. But I still think he was just kind of a average quarterback at best. Like, I don't think anybody looked at Bryce Young in the last 8 games or whatever and said, yeah, that's a top 10 quarterback. Like, I think he's middle of the road at best. But now, you know, I mean, everybody, because it was so much better than it was, you know, for the first season plus 2 games that he played, everybody's like, oh, Bryce Young, Bryce Young. He might, I mean, he might take another step forward. I mean, all the reasons he got drafted first overall are still there. He's a hard worker, smart dude, all that kind of stuff. So maybe he makes another improvement. But I think if he just comes back and plays like the Bryce Young over the second half of last season, it's fine, but I don't know that necessarily that's what the Panthers were praying for when they traded everything to draft him number one overall. I think that Bryce Young still has a long way to go to kind of be the quarterback the Panthers want him to be.
Before I let you go, the quarterback documentary season 2, it was interesting. Us here in Atlanta, it was cool to kind of see everything fold out in real time, given the knowledge we had at the end of it. But Frank, I know about Kirk Cousins in that situation. We didn't really learn anything new here in Atlanta from a national perspective. Was there something that he said that surprised you?
No, you know, I'm just, it's funny. I just was watching it today. So I was on vacation last week. Didn't get a chance to dig in. But I haven't gotten to the points of, you know, I mean, the stuff he said about being blindsided a little bit by Penix, I think we all knew that. Like, you know, and we'll see. And, you know, it was interesting to me when he's, you know, doing the voice memo stuff and basically says multiple times, like, I'm not playing well. Well, yeah, that I think that that's kind of the reason this all went down the way it did. He wasn't playing well. And, you know, just as a side, though, I mean, Kirk Cousins is one of a kind. Like, he is just I think that people have warmed up to him so much through the quarterback series because he is the guy at Grey Clips, and he's the guy kind of awkwardly rapping in the tunnel to his team. And, yeah, I mean, just swag surfing and all that. I just think it was such a smart idea for Kirk Cousins to be part of this. But, you know, quarterback-wise, how he was handled, I think that – that it's a tough situation for him. I do feel for him because everything he said, look, the NFL is a competitive league and, you know, you don't – the Atlanta Falcons have to do what's best for them. What was best for them was drafting Michael Penix number 8 overall. It was unconventional, but they felt that player was worth that pick and it would pay off eventually quicker than they thought it would. But I understand it from Kirk Cousins' aspect of – he didn't like if he would just he like he said he would just stayed in Minnesota if he would have known that like it, he didn't realize that they were going to draft a guy so high. So I do feel for Kirk, and we've kind of gotten, you know, a raw deal here. Now he's stuck as a backup until something happens. But, you know, overall, I think that it's just an uncomfortable situation. I think honestly Kirk has handled this as well as he can. Like, this is a difficult situation. He's never been really unprofessional about it or anything like that, but he's let, you know, he's pretty much let everybody know, I'm not happy with this, and I want the situation to change. I just don't know how it really changes between here and next offseason.
Oh, yeah, no. The proverbial ship has sailed, my friend. Frank Schwab with Yahoo Sports. Make sure you check out the podcast, Inside Coverage. Thanks for the time. We'll chat soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Frank Schwab there. When we get back, I saw it. I saw Superman, and I posted about it. Yeah, a lot of y'all commented on the post. I appreciate it. Me and my lovely girlfriend, Kiara, went yesterday with her family. I'll give you my review, spoiler-free, plus 5 SEC true-false questions with Big O. 1 hour in the books, 2 to play. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.